This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
To the next point, the identity and individuality of TCKs. Now, what are the risky points and the challenges that affect kids in their strive for identity and that affects the whole family culture? I think just a few points here. TCKs are different to parents. I had to realize that over the years more and more. These kids are not what I've expected them to become because they are raised overseas with so different cultures, different ideas. All our children, actually, their mother tongue is English. They speak American English. So often they get asked, which state from America are you from? When they hear the parents and with my English, German English, they say, this can't be your mother because she doesn't speak American. So they are different people and they have a different culture and they have different needs. Parents often who grow up monoculturally, you need to be so open-minded, sensitive, and willing to rethink in respect to the development and culture and personality of the child. Otherwise, you get very miserably disappointed. It's not Finnish anymore and not Swedish and not German. It's different. Once departed, forever changed. Once you start going overseas, it has lifelong implications. And I think often we are also not aware of that. Especially parents are often not aware and are later surprised and at a loss. What happened? I thought we only go 5 years to minister overseas. Everything has changed. Then TCKs have no clear ownership. They come along. So really to help them to understand, to comprehend the dimension of it, to keep open talks, I think that is such an important one. And I know we hardly discussed with our kids that we were going overseas. It just took them and we went. TCKs go through a lot of loss and change and through a lot of different grieving process. It's always a letting go of relationships, of consistency, of unfulfilled dreams, careers that could not be pursued, sports, instruments. And at the end, and I think our oldest daughter said that, the hardest loss was for her when we left the field too, because she had lost her home overseas. For us, it was still like, even after 18 years going home to Germany, but for her, she had lost her home. She was then really homeless, and she never found Germany to be a home. And also the lack of permission and time to grieve. Loss that has no closure or funeral, it's invisible, and feelings get strangled and not dealt with, and that become turn into bitterness and frustration. Loss needs recognition, permission and time to grieve. Otherwise, it can cause a lot of guilt feelings. As parents, we tend to encourage our children. Look at the green side. It will be better tomorrow. You will find friends there. We want to encourage them because we are hurting with them. And there is some guilt feeling in us. Because of the whole ministry, they are dealing with that issue now. Actually, encouragement makes them angry. Our kids told me that very clearly. Don't say that. It's much better just to say, I'm so sorry. It's horrible to miss home. Just to comfort. Just to come alongside. Just to allow to grieve. And that often is the most helpful process. Comfort means consolation in time of trouble or worry. It doesn't change the situation itself, nor can it take away the pain, but it relays the message that you care and understand. And that's often so much more needed than encouragement. I just put together some guidelines for parents, which came to my mind as I worked through these issues. Again, I will run through them very quickly. To be ready to listen. I think that is something we are all aware, and it needs sometimes some listening skills. Because so often when we listen, it's more like questioning. But questioning is not listening. than to show unconditional love and acceptance through actions and decisions and not so much through words. We can say 100 times, I love you, but one time be there when it's something important for them, or we leave, drop an important meeting to be there for something that is important to them, speaks much more than 100 times, I love you, because it's love in action. And I think parents overseas are often so busy that they miss out these crucial points to be really there at a critical time. Healthy family times for sharing, for fun nights, game nights. Don't let others dictate your priorities. I think it's actually good to have a priority list as you go overseas and know what really some kind of a framework you want to live with. Avoid comparison of siblings. I find that a very important one because they are all so different. And some of them really thrive out there and find it exciting. And you look to them and say, oh, he's doing well. And there's one who's not doing well. And he feels that if you are always excited about the one who does well. And he can becomes easily the black sheep and gets stigmatized. To really acknowledge that they all deal so differently with loss and change. And to give them that time and that space. And to involve kids in the decision process as far as age and circumstances allow, especially with schooling issues, it's so important. And even if there is nothing available, to even be willing to say, well, we have to relocate for some time, so you will have social life and schooling if that what is available here is not really fitting for you. Some more guidelines to prepare them to build bridges. And I know we have done miserable. My father even didn't talk to us for 2 years when we went out first. And it was interesting. Our oldest daughter, who at that time did the German homeschooling system, and I was teaching her, and she learned to read and write. And with her first ability after a few weeks, she was a very fast learner. She wrote a letter to her grandfather. And she said, Grandfather, I miss you so much, and I pray for you every day. He's not a Christian. I pray for you every day, and I love you so much. And she went on and on in wrong spelling, but with what she finally got and learned to write that letter to her grandfather. We still have a copy of that letter. Then she wrote, and if my parents have money, we actually will go for a holiday. I love you so much. She just wrote it as well, what was in her heart. Well, a few weeks later, we had 2,000 D-mark on our account. For a holiday, and my father started writing to us. She built the bridge by writing to her grandfather. Since then, he was really behind us. And when we came back finally from Somalia, he said, I'm so proud of you. It's the best thing you could do. Although he was really, as a non-Christian, very upset what we were doing. Children can build bridges, beautiful bridges, when they learn writing. Inspire your kids for the people and culture by your own example. I think that becomes also more and more a difficult one when I look around. Children more and more live their, in a different world than the parents. The parents do their developmental work and the kids live in their own little world. And they don't even realize often what the parents really, the love or connection they have with the people. And I think it's so important that we as parents really communicate to the kids that we appreciate these people, that we are learners, that we really have a heart for them, and then that we want to serve them. A lot of kids actually don't connect really anymore. And it's so important that we help them to connect. Try to facilitate your kids' ways to express their own ministry. And even if you don't like it at all, what they are doing, give them a chance to foster their own integration. In Pakistan, they did sometimes a soup kitchen or just something together as TCKs they could do to express something of we are of help and of use to here. Be open for criticism. I think that is a very important one. Allow kids to question your ministry and to make mistakes. They are as much seekers and learners as the people you came to serve. We give them all the credit that they can ask the most stupid questions and do the most stupid stuff. But if our kids do it, we get very upset. And of course, we live overseas in a fishbowl kind of identity. Everybody watches us. And that strangles to some extent the honesty that we relate to one another. But to step over that line and say, yes, you can make mistakes. And I give you the permission to question me. I think that's so important. Children are really our primary ministry. I think if we are not really reaching out to our children and encourage them in their walk with God, people around us will not learn. They learn from what we do with our own children. Parents need to have the humility to acknowledge mistakes and ask kids for forgiveness. We make mistakes. And to go up to a child, and even if it's only 10, and says, I'm really sorry, I didn't see your grief, or I didn't ask you, or I was not aware of that. Can you forgive me? I think that speaks more to them than maybe doing a big party for them. To be honest, to humble ourselves. I think ministry comprises sacrifices, but not that of our children. And when we do wrong, we need to ask them for forgiveness. Parents do well to seek God diligently for guidance for their kids, so that a potential loss in the life of the children really becomes an enriching deposit in their lives.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.